The old Idaho State Penitentiary took in its first inmates in 1872. It housed both male and female criminals up until 1973. It saw more than 13,000 inmates in its 101 years of operation, including Harry Orchard, who assassinated a former Idaho governor. Today, the penitentiary, it is closed to prisoners, but it is open to the public to tour the grounds and the exhibits. And it is a destination for ghost hunters who look to connect with the prisoners of the past. Joining us to talk about the pen is Amber Byerly, Historic Sites Administrator with the Idaho State Historical Society. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
The Idaho State Penitentiary, the old Idaho State Pen, it has such a rich history. Why do you think so many people are drawn to it?
You know, I think it's obviously you talked about spirits, and that certainly brings people in. Ghosts are interesting, but it's really this thing that none of us will be able to experience in our lifetime, hopefully,
right?
If we do everything correctly. And so it just has there's an enigma to it. And so it's kind of unfolding that puzzle and wanting to really see what goes on behind those doors. Have things changed? Are they the same? And the fact that, you know, we get to decide who goes in prison. So we're sort of responsible for that.
And I think it's really a fascinating tour if you've not done it. Because when you go into the areas where the prisoners were housed, you've done a great job with plaques and things like that about the history of the prison. How important was that to have that piece of it instead of just, you know, walking through a bunch of old buildings, frankly?
Absolutely. I mean, the context is what's the most important thing. Yes, a place can be spooky, and that has its limitations, though. Until you know the story behind it, and even with ghost hunters, if you don't have the context for it, what are you searching for, really? What's, you know, just to be scared? We're hoping to get to that deeper meaning for folks to understand the history of social justice in Idaho. You know, why were the laws as such? Why have they changed? Why have they remained the same? And so really, most of the people that come through do self-guided tours. And I think seeing those faces, you know, seeing those mugshots, sometimes very young faces, as young as 11 years old, it has more of an impact. And we want to share that story. We want to unlock the mystery of the place. And that's our role. And we take great pride in that.
And that is an interesting piece that you bring up about very young inmates, because I know in one of the cell blocks, you have a whole plaque dedicated to the young inmates, and it was an 11-year-old boy, I believe, who was convicted of killing his mom.
That is correct, little Jimmy Whitaker, and we're trying to give an idea that building itself housed young inmates. Mm-hmm. So again, it's more impactful when you can look at that face and imagine it in that building. And yes, they were very young, 13, 14-year-olds. It wasn't uncommon even up until the 1970s.
And that's what's interesting, though, is as you said, the changing face of criminal justice. You would not see an 11-year-old housed in a maximum security prison with adults in this day and age. And is that part of it, seeing the evolution of our justice system?
Absolutely. And I think there are those positive changes that have been made. There are also connections that we're trying to make to the present to see how things haven't changed, you know, and again, that's a reflection of us as a society. And why is that? Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? We're not there, of course, to judge in that way, just to simply give the information to say these are the issues that to consider, you know, juveniles, you know, things that are sort of social crimes, you know, that you wouldn't think of being against the law that are, you know, whether historically or even today.
And what about the idea of the pen having not been torn down? I know it was placed on the National Register of Historic Places in 1973 when it closed. But why did that happen, especially in the 70s when you didn't see as much of that preservation going on?
Right. You know, it's right at that sort of tail end of, you know, kind of destroying downtown Boise, and I think really it was reactionary to that. There was actually a state legislator who proposed tearing it down because it was prime real estate, and that's not to vilify, you know, him in any way. It was really about, you know, money possibly for the state. But I think enough people had foresight to say, no, this is a special place, and, you know, to open that up for better understanding, and frankly, with some of the events that we've done, to be able to have revenue generation that goes back into the state coffers that helps us keep the place preserved.
I'm speaking with Amber Byerly, Historic Sites Administrator with the Idaho State Historical Society. We're talking about the old Idaho Penitentiary. And I've taken a tour. I've taken my kids, even my youngest. But they were fascinated with it. My oldest just went through fourth grade. So they take a tour of the old pen. And one of the stories I think that people may not be aware of is a cat that lived in the prison.
He did. That's Dennis the cat that you're referring to. And we actually had Zipper the cat. We've had a few cats that were there historically. And, you know, obviously inmates are not supposed to have pets.
Well, right.
But what it became is somewhat of a way to sort of, you know, I mean, this really, you know, humanizes some of these guys, too, that they took care of this cat. It was sort of, you know, kind of you take care of it. You take care of this mess just like you do, I'm sure, with your children mm-hmm. and pets that, you know, then we'll let you keep it. And so Dennis was 16 years old. Zipper, I believe, lived to be 20.
Oh, my
gosh.
So
these were, you know, they were good Mausers, so they were taking care of that. But really, it kind of kept spirits up. So it was something that was taken very seriously when he passed away. And, of course, his marker is inside the walls.
It's right inside the walls of the prison.
The only inmate that's buried inside the walls.
Is a cat.
Yeah.
Well, and one of the most popular events is what you do at Halloween. And I know we're a couple of months out, but for people that may not know, talk about this event, because you do have a family-friendly one, but then you have adults only.
The all bets are off.
Yeah.
So of course, yeah, we do Frighten Felons, and we are in our 10th year. I cannot believe that I've been there for every single one.
Right?
But yes, 10 years of Frighten Felons. And this year, compared with that, we also have a Sleepless in Stripes event. So our first overnight event ever.
Are you kidding?
So people have asked us.
You're locking
people
in?
We're locking people in. It's going to be
very
limited.
You know that's when the ghosts come out.
Exactly. And we're going to teach you all about, who the real guys were that passed away there and that might still be around.
Because what program was it? Was it called Ghost Hunters that came and they spent the night in the prison and
Ghost Adventures?
That's right.
Yeah, and so they were definitely interesting. They were fun, but we've also since then have built so much on the actual history, and so that there is an understanding of who those guys actually were,
right, and why they may be haunting the place.
Right.
I mean, the story behind them.
Absolutely. I mean, it is absolutely a place of despair, and this is the worst time in people's lives. But we also, you know, there are some stories of redemption and people coming back from horrible circumstances. So.
And what about the huge fire that happened? People may not be aware of that as well. You still have basically some bricks and mortar of that, and it was a dining hall, correct? And this was a riot that happened.
Yes. So the oldest building on this site is the old territorial building, which was converted to a chapel. So it's serving as a chapel. They burned that down and the dining hall as well. So that was in 1973. It's not the reason the prison closed.
Right.
A lot of people ask about that. They were already building the new facility, already had inmates at that facility, but it certainly sped up the process. That happened in March. Everybody's out by the first week of December 1973. So yes, and people ask, you know, they did have access to cigarettes and matches and things like that. So they didn't necessarily burn down the cell houses because that's where they lived.
Yeah, they had to live there.
But it backfired a little bit because their food was pretty bad after that because it kind of punished them with peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and different things.
That's a long time to eat peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, like several months.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So. I want to thank you, Amber, for coming in. I think the Idaho, the old Idaho Pen is just a fascinating facility and definitely worth a tour. You can always go because you're open pretty much every
day. 7 days a week. Absolutely. That we're open and certainly several events each month.
All right. Thank you so much for coming in. I've been talking with Amber Byerly. She is the Historic Sites Administrator with the Idaho State Historical Society. I want to thank you again, Amber, for coming in.
Thanks so much.